you are not listening to any old cock-a-doodie podcast. You are listening to a Patreon-exclusive recording of the Uncut Gems podcast. This is our March 2024 tie-in episode where we're connecting to what we're doing on our main show. More on that in a second. First things first, my name's Randy.
And my name's Echo.
And we're not alone today. We're joined by our good friend, and I think I'll just say this, we're her number one fan, Hillary White. How are you doing, Hillary?
Doing very well, thank you.
Awesome. Awesome to have you. So on our main show this month, our theme is spring clinging. We're talking about people who take being a fan a bit too seriously, take it a bit too far. And today we're going to be tying into that conversation. But first, just going to mention a few of announcements that we have going on. And firstly, we're introducing a new $1 per month tier to our Patreon. So all of our main show episodes will appear on our Patreon, but for $1 a month, we are going to remove the marketing preamble. So what you're listening to right here from me, that won't be part of a tier one Patreon listening experience. So that's coming up. Just wanted to share that. So
we're not doing this retroactively, just saying, because like, don't make any promises. I'm not going to do it and go backwards and just re-edit all these shows. I don't have time. Sorry.
Just to make up, yes, because we have like 160 of these. Jakob, get working.
So, I need to quit my job and do this.
So this is something we're going to try. We'll see how it goes, at least. So it's a spur of the moment type of decision, and we're incorporating it into the life of the show, and we'll see how this pans out. Now, if you were with us last week, we made our monthly stop at the Spike Lee station, part of our year-long project talking about all of his films. We released our monthly major joint, talking about arguably his magnum opus, really, Do the Right Thing, while we talk about his big films here on Patreon. Over on the main show, we're talking about his smaller films once a month. We're stopping to talk about his minor joints. So in March, we began the month talking about Mo Better Blues. We're also working on another directorial career marathon project over the course of 2024. We're going through all the films of Kathryn Bigelow. And 2 weeks ago, as of the point of this release, 2 weeks ago, we released our conversation on Near Dark, and we had Hillary on board for that. That was a great conversation. And later this month, we will be talking about Kathryn Bigelow's third film, Blue Steel. If you happen to be listening to us through our main show feed, this is just a sample, of course, and the fun will end after about 15 minutes. If you like what you hear and you want more, you can find us on our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month, $4.50 Canadian, you can listen to over 2 years of podcasts. We have a complete David Lynch marathon in there. We have a complete John Cassavetes directorial marathon in there. We have a 2023 Soderbergh Shallow Cut series, so a lot of good stuff. For those who do subscribe, and you're already part of this, please know that we appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. We really do. So just a few shout outs to some folks who are out there who support us unconditionally with their listens and their dollars. Nicolo, thank you. Ottoman 2222, thank you very much. Jan, Rich, Sarah, you guys are the best. So we really, really appreciate it. We're your number one fans. So thank you for that. And keep in mind, our main show episodes release every Friday. And as I mentioned, this month, this March, we are talking about spring clinging. That's our theme. So now it's time to get on to our tie-in episode, which is what brings us here today. It's time to start talking about the cock-a-doodie film of the day. We're chatting about the 1990 Rob Reiner film based on the 1987 Stephen King book of the same name, Misery.
Did I do good?
You did great. There is just one little thing. I can't work on this paper. See, it's crassable bond and it smudges. So I thought maybe if you went back into town, you could bring me some white long grain Mimeo.
but mine cost the most. So I don't see how it can smudge.
Come here, I'll show you.
It does smudge after all. Isn't that fascinating?
I thought you'd be interested. I'd like for you to be in on everything, Annie, not just the finished book, but how it's written.
Thank you for thinking of me. Anything else I can get while I'm in town? Any other crucial requirements that need satisfying? Would you like a tiny tape recorder? Or how about a handmade set of riding slippers?
Well, just the paper will be fine.
Are you sure? Because if you want, I'll bring back the whole store for you.
All right. Misery, Rob Reiner film, based on a Stephen King book. The screenplay was written by William Goldman. And if you're not familiar with William Goldman, he is a very prolific Hollywood writer. He won 2 Oscars, notably All the President's Men was his script. And so too was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Furthermore, he's written some successful novels. He wrote the novels for The Princess Bride and Marathon Man, and then turned around and whipped out the scripts of those successful films as well. So he's sort of another interesting player behind the scenes on this. The film was produced by Castle Rock Entertainment, which was founded by Rob Reiner and his producing partner, Andrew Scheinman. And Misery stars, it's a small cast, so I'll basically list all of them. Kathy Bates, James Caan, Richard Farnsworth, Frances Sternhagen, and Lauren Bacall in a small role. And probably notably, too, I'll mention the cinematography was done by one Barry Sonnenfeld, and this was his final film as cinematographer. Misery was Barry Sonnenfeld's final film as cinematographer, as he this. Would. I got this. As he Nailed would then, as he would jump into the director's chair in the next couple of years with films like Adam's Family and Get Shorty and a few others, I think so.
Men in Black.
There's yes, it, yes. I think so. I think so.
Spielberg, Lucas, Sonnenfeld.
So. Misery follows Paul Sheldon, a successful novelist who is rescued from a car crash during a snowstorm, and he's rescued by Annie Wilkes, his self-proclaimed number one fan. Paul soon realizes that Annie is mentally unstable and becomes his captor, forcing him to rewrite his latest novel to her liking. Trapped in Annie's remote home in Colorado, Paul must navigate her increasingly erratic behavior while attempting his escape. As Annie's obsession with Paul's fictional character, Misery Chastain, intensifies, Paul's life hangs in the balance, leading to a chilling and suspenseful battle of wills between captor and captive.
Can I just say, isn't remote house in Colorado kind of like a linguistic redundancy? Isn't every house in Colorado remote?
No.
I'll say no.
No.
Because I've never been to Colorado, but I know there are communities there. So
like they all kind of seem like to go like, oh, let me just pop out to the shops, and they're just like gone for 3 hours to drive somewhere.
This is the Colorado of Stephen King novels, probably.
Yeah, although I did look up the town. It's a real town, and I think the town is. It seems even more remote and kind of out there than what was portrayed in the film.
Okay.
But, I mean, as far as places, I guess like Wyoming could be made fun of for that kind of thing, being really remote, or maybe Montana. Mm-hmm, but yeah. There's some places in Colorado. Like, yeah, we've all seen South Park. There's a, if we're going to go fictionally even,
also
like there's
today,
a town.
Today I found out, complete tangent, I found out you can fit the entirety of Poland into the state of Texas and still drive around its perimeter and still be in Texas.
Yes, yeah.
Well, Texas is huge. Mm-hmm. Again, I've never been, but Texas
the country is just is huge. Yeah. I mean, it's massive. Someone we don't have really any idea. Yeah, we do.
Just break it into smaller bits. Like this is unsustainable.
Oh no, there's people who are working on that. I'm sure there's people who want that.
I'm not. I'm not inciting anything in here. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's a week in, week out sort of for me. It's like on the do the right thing, by the way, like subscribe and listen. Just getting into these political messages that I think like would make Bernie Sanders blush.
It's an all new Jacob this year. Okay.
It's very not me because I'm not really that left wing, but you know.
I don't know, man.
Eat the rich.
I'm mostly caught up on your writing and it's there. Anyway, behind the scenes on Misery and just some production stories, I've come across a few things. So to begin with, Stephen King's novel Misery hit bookshelves in 1987. It was originally planned actually to be a Richard Bachman book, which I found interesting, but he was also mm-hmm. outed around that time. So he just decided to release Misery as a Stephen King novel. It was well reviewed by critics. It was the number 4 bestseller in 1987, and Hollywood interest grew around an adaptation almost instantaneously. King was a bit apprehensive, though, to give the rights out to this. So he said no when Hollywood came knocking, and then he sort of pondered it. See, Misery was a book that was really close to his heart. He was really quite proud of it, and he didn't want Hollywood to mess this particular property up. But he eventually gave in, but he had some terms. He agreed to sell the rights on the condition that Rob Reiner were to either produce it or direct it, because he did really like the work that Rob Reiner did on Stand By Me. So Castle Rock, which was founded, as I mentioned, by Reiner and Andrew Scheinman, they optioned the film for $1 from Stephen King because they were attached to the project. The film got going on the strength of Castle Rock's recent success with When Harry Met Sally. So Castle Rock had a bunch of money to work with. So Misery was made on an $18 million budget, which on the one hand was a reasonable budget for a hot property such as this. But some argued, too, it was a bit of a high budget for a film, a genre film that was basically in one set, one location. According to the writer William Goldman, nearly every Hollywood leading man was approached at the time to play the lead of Paul Sheldon, Warren Beatty, Jack Nicholson. I love when we get these little stories where there's just sort of a huge grocery list of actors. Robert De Niro. Oh, yeah, all these guys. Robert De Niro, Harrison Ford, Mel Gibson.
Remember when we discovered that Tom Selleck was shortlisted for the Batman?
Okay.
That would have been...
That was another one of those ones, yeah.
That would have been weird. Because, like, he would have had to lose the mustache, and he looks strange without a mustache.
I live in a world where he keeps the stash.
Yeah, because it's like, we know it's you. Yeah, nope. No, it's you. It's you, Bruce. I can see your mustache.
Nope. No, it isn't.
It's totally not me. Sorry, it's totally not Bruce.
No, it's not.
Okay. I mean, we thought Robert Pattinson was a push because he has like such a, his jawline is distinctive. It's like Bruce Campbell as Batman. It's like, yeah, I know it's you. Like immediately. I know who you are.
Get Schwarzenegger. It's like, it's totally not me.
It's you, Bruce. No, it is not.
Accent. What accent? I don't have an accent.
I changed my voice on purpose.
All right. So back to Paul Sheldon. Yes, Warren Beatty, Jack Nicholson, Robert De Niro, Harrison Ford, Mel Gibson, Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino, Gene Hackman, Denzel Washington, and Bruce Willis were all approached. William Hurt, it seems like they pled with William Hurt to play the role. He was offered the role twice. And Beatty actually signed on, and he was involved in the early days of Misery and even had a hand in developing the script with Goldman and Reiner. But Beatty wanted to make the role of Paul Sheldon less passive, a little bit more heroic. But Beatty ended up leaving the production because he had ongoing commitments to the post-production of Dick Tracy. And also interesting.
If you'd like to listen to this show in its entirety, head over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month you'll be able to hear many other bonus recordings of ours, such as tie-ins to our main show, mini retrospectives, and comprehensive director marathons. patreon.com/uncutgemspod is the place, so head over there and subscribe.